Good morning. We've been talking about revival. I started that series called Necessities for Revival. We started in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and forsake their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And today, we're still talking about necessities of revival. Today I want to talk about a great hindrance to revival within the church and within our own lives. The text is very familiar. It's out of Matthew 6. I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you care enough to share the hard things with us, the things that we wrestle with and struggle with. And I just pray today, Lord, that if any here is struggling with this issue, with unforgiveness, that this will be a day that you will soften their hearts, deal with them, and point out to them that they must be willing to forgive in order to be forgiven. I ask your blessing on all who are here today, Lord, that you will take your word to our hearts. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this model of prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, he stressed the fact that if we refuse to forgive others, then our Heavenly Father will refuse to forgive us. That's not a popular thing to talk about today. We feel in the church like God's obligated to forgive. And I mean, there are scriptures that say if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's another passage that people don't like as well. It says, he who confesses and forsakes his sins shall find mercy. I had a guy here, he didn't like that passage. He liked the 1 John 1:9, and we were talking about repentance, and I said, God requires repentance for forgiveness. You don't have one without the other. And Jesus was talking to his men. He'd been praying, and they said, teach us how to pray. And he did, and he thought it was important enough that he stressed the fact to the church that if you're not willing to forgive someone, God will not forgive you. He didn't say he might not, or maybe won't, or someday soon, eventually, he will, when he thinks you've stewed in your unforgiveness long enough. And we think, as I said, we think forgiveness with God, he has to do that. The Bible says he has to forgive me. If I confess my sins, he has to forgive me. It doesn't say that he has to. He chooses to. Big difference. And for you and I to forgive, that is a choice of our will. One of the biggest reasons we don't forgive others is ego. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. Don't they know who I am? How dare they talk to me that way? How dare they do something like that? Really? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? We struggle with unforgiveness. And the devil knows that it's one of those sins that hurts us. We think we're hurting other people when we hold grudges and we're unforgiving and we're not going to have anything to do with them. We're not going to be civil to them if we get around. You know, we're going to let them know, by golly, I'm angry with you. And I'm going to keep you under that thumb. I want you to feel terrible about yourself. I want you to feel terrible for what you did. And don't ask me to forgive you. Or have you ever heard this? Well, I might forgive, but I won't forget. That's not scriptural definition of forgiveness. Sorry to bust your bubble. I've had a lot of people say that. And what that is, it's a cover-up for your resentment. Well, I've forgiven them because God said I have to, but I'll never forget what they did. Then you haven't forgiven them. You're allowing somebody to control you. Some of you have people that are dead now that you never have forgiven, and they are controlling you from the grave. Think about that. They are controlling you. They are no longer with us. They're not here anymore. But you hold what they did against you as much as you did years ago. You still hold it to them, and you're proud of it. People don't, you know, well, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. God does. And God says, if you're not willing to forgive, I won't forgive you. As I say, he didn't say, maybe I'll forgive you, eventually I'll forgive you, I'll let you stew long enough, and then I'm going to go ahead and forgive you. Jesus didn't say that. And this was so important that he shared this with his disciples when he prayed that we are to forgive others. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. To forgive, here's the definition according to Dr. Strong. The word forgive means to forgive, to pardon, to remit, to cancel, to leave, to abandon to tolerate, to put away, to let go. I like those last two. For me, when God says I'm to forgive somebody, he says put it away. Let it go. It never happened. No, I can't do that. You don't know how bad they hurt me. No, I don't. I've hurt people in my life, and I've had to ask for forgiveness when I knew I was in the wrong. But I've been hurt, and I've been betrayed. And there are people that I have forgiven that's never one time asked me for forgiveness. Never one time did anyone say, Rick, I was wrong. I'm sorry. That's easier for us if somebody says, look, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't react well. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. That's easier for me anyway to say, well, okay, yeah. You're showing remorse. Jesus talked about repentance and forgiveness. And you never heard him talk about one without talking about the other. He wouldn't leave us hanging like that and say, well, you know, you just have to forgive people whether they're sorry or not. That's not what he says. Luke says, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That's how that's prayer worded in his gospel. So Jesus is saying, you need to ask God to forgive you the same way you forgive other people. And guess what? That's exactly what he does. You want to hold things against people? You want to have that attitude? You're never going to forgive them. You're never going to let them get away with that. You're never going to let that go. You're going to hold that over them the rest of your life. And then you just got a whole bucket list of sins hanging over your head that God says, okay. Does God choose to forgive us? This means yes and this means no. It's not a trick question. Yes, it does. He chooses to forgive us. Of his own free will, he chooses to forgive us. If we comply with him and come to him through Jesus Christ, he promises that. In Ephesians, I'll get here in just a minute. In Ephesians, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our trespasses. A trespass, the definition of sin, of a trespass, is a willful transgression of a known law. In other words, you can't claim ignorance. You shall not lie. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So if you lie, you know the scriptures say you shouldn't lie, or you will not lie. And if you lie, then you have willfully broken God's law. So we can't claim ignorance. There were sins of ignorance God provided for in the law of Moses. He said, if it comes to your attention, you sin. But what he demanded immediately was repentance and restitution. Confession of the sin, restitution of the sin. He said, if you find out that you've cheated somebody, or you admit, you confess that you have cheated somebody, he said, you give them back their money plus 20% interest. Good night, God, 20%. I think that shows a genuineness in repentance. I cheated you, I'm sorry. And I'm going to pay you back what I owe you, and I'm going to pay you back 20% more than I owe you. God said, if you find out you've sinned, and he called it a sin of ignorance, you weren't aware of it and you sinned, when it's brought to your attention, the ball's in your court. That's the way God sees it. God doesn't just slough off and go, well, they just don't know any better. We're created in His image. He gave us this conscience that we have, okay? And I've met people that couldn't spell God that had a very tender conscience. You know, they knew right from wrong. And they didn't go to church. They didn't want to undo it, church or Christians or the Bible. But they had this sense on the inside of right and wrong. C.S. Lewis talked about the what amazed him as an atheist. He started studying Christianity because he was trying to figure out what were Christians doing, what's going on with this Christianity claim. And he found that throughout the whole world, in different cultures, there was an innate sense of right and wrong, and they hadn't checked notes. He said most cultures hold murder as wrong. Most cultures will hold adultery as wrong. And he said we didn't get together and compare that. He just said it's in us. And he concluded that there must be a good God who created us in His image, and we know what good is, and we know what evil is. It's the conscience that convicts you. When I was in Bible college, they were talking about the nature of sin, which I don't agree with. But I didn't make a scene about it. I don't agree with it. And they said, well, now, what about a three-year-old? You got a three-year-old kid, and you ask them if they did something, they're lying to you, and they can't look you in the eye. They go, nope, I didn't do that. You know, any of you ever raised kids? Yeah. No, not me. No, Dad, it wasn't me. And I said, they said, all they know is evil. They'll lie. I said, wait a minute. They won't look you in the eye. Why? Because they know it's wrong. You don't have to tell them it's wrong to lie. The minute they open their mouth and lie, their conscience is convicted. That's that God-given conscience that we have. So none of us can claim ignorance. As I said, the main reason we hang on to unforgiveness is ego. On our part, and I'm including myself. I'm not saying you got this ego problem. No, I don't. It's our ego. So how dare somebody speak to me like, how dare somebody do me like that? But what did Jesus say? Forgive them. Well, that's easy for you. Isn't that all right? Well, yeah, you're God. That's easy for you to forgive. When you compare the things that we've done against God to the things that maybe we've done against each other, it doesn't even compare. God is holy. And we say that a lot, but I think a lot of the church today, we've lost our fear of God in that sense. We treat Him like He's our old fishing buddy. I was talking to Phil Butterfield yesterday, and we were talking about going into the throne room of heaven. I don't know how we got off on that, but we were talking about it. And I said, you know, when Isaiah stood before the Lord, He said, woe is me, I'm an unclean man with unclean lips, and I'm in the presence of this holy God. And I said, Philip, that's what we were talking about, appearing before the throne. That's what it was, the day of judgment. And he said, you know, I wonder what's going to happen. I said, I believe we're going to hit our face, personally, because God is so holy and so pure that all of our sinfulness will be revealed to us in just one swell swoop, just bam. And like Isaiah, I think that's going to be our reaction. Lord, I'm unclean. You're holy, I'm not. But the good news is this holy God chooses to forgive you and me of our sins. Yeah. So when God says you forgive, that's a consent of your will. Now, you're probably sitting there going, well, duh, I know that. Do you really? Because I think too many times we think that God has to forgive, we don't. And if we don't forgive, God will understand that. And He'll say, well, you know, I understand. No, that's not what He said. Jesus said, what did He say? If you don't forgive others, He won't forgive you. He will not. He will choose not to forgive you or me if we want to keep holding grudges. Life's too short for this, church. You ever meet bitter people that run around and they're bitter and they gripe about everything and the world's against them and poor them, you know, they, oh my gosh. It's like, get a grip. Get a grip. Life is life. People are going to offend you. People are going to say things that offend you, whether they mean to or not. And that's another thing that happens with unforgiveness. They meant to do that. They may not have meant to do that. They may have said something very innocently to you that they had no intention of trying to hurt you. But that's what you'll do. You'll jump up. Well, they meant to do that. Really? Did you talk to them? We had an incident here, and I'm not going to give any names, but the minister that was here and one person that got very upset, and one of the ladies came to me because I was an elder and said, I want him fired right now. Whoa. For what? Well, he said this, and this person got offended, and I don't like it, and you need to fire him. I said, number one, I ain't going to fire the dude. I don't have that authority. Number two, that's not a firing offense. She said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to try to get them both together and reconcile. That's what Jesus told us to do. You know, forgiveness goes both ways. He said, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother has something against you, what'd Jesus say? Go ahead and pray and then go reconcile. No, he said, you leave your gift at the altar. This is God's priority, not mine. You leave your gift right there. God says, you stop what you're doing and go and be reconciled to that person if they'll be reconciled. He said, then bring your gift. Then offer your gift to God. That's how important our interpersonal relationships are with the Heavenly Father. We're family. You can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your kinfolk. We might as well learn to get along here. If we plan on being to heaven together, you think heaven's going to be segregated? You know, people that don't like each other, they're going to be over here in this group. People that don't like each other ain't going to be there, church. That's bottom line. That's what the Bible teaches. Your sins won't be forgiven, so you're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And we think of the big sins, you know, the sexual sins and the stealing and all. Oh, those are the sins that will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus say? If you're not willing to forgive people, you won't enter heaven. Now, that's coming from him. That's not coming from me. It's not an option, church. We're not under the option to forgive. We're under the commandment to forgive. God chose to do this out of his own will. Forgiveness is done with the consent of our will. Now, I say that a lot, but there's too much hype going on today about, well, the Holy Spirit does this work in your life, and he makes you this kind of person. No, that's not what happens. You consent your will to conform to the will of God. Because God said, this is right, this is wrong. You say, okay, God, that's right, this is wrong. It's a consent of your will. Can you still do what you want to do if it's wrong? Yeah. But you're going to suffer the consequences for it. God doesn't do some change on the inside of you that all of a sudden you're going to stop doing these things you used to do. I believe he can deliver us from that power. The Bible says he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his Son. But he never says anywhere that forgiveness is easy. It's a struggle. And it's a consent of the will. And don't play that game, well, I might forgive, but I won't forget, because then you really haven't forgiven. I read you the definition of forgive. It means to let it go. Just let it go. God said, vengeance is mine. I'm the one that's going to repay. You and I aren't qualified to do that. Because he knows our hearts. He knows our motivations. He knows why we do what we do. Why we say what we say. He's the one that's going to take care of everything. Jesus said, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. There's that must. You have to forgive him. Now, what's repent mean? It means to show remorse. It means a change of your attitude, a change of your actions. A change of maybe what you thought this wasn't wrong, but then you realize it was by God's standards. This is wrong. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said this. And Jesus said, if your brother sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times in that day comes to you and says, I repent. I'm sorry. I was wrong. He said, forgive them. Now, Peter one day, in the Gospel of Matthew, it's recorded that Peter gave this back to the Lord. He asked this question in a form of a statement. How many times are we required to forgive someone who wrongs us? Basically, that was Peter's request. He said, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? See, Jesus had already said seven. So Peter said, well, that's a good number. Jesus said seven, so seven's a good number. What was the open end of that question? Only seven times, Lord. I'll forgive him seven times. Boy, the eighth time, that's it. Yeah, we have that attitude, church. I'll forgive him seven times because you told me I have to. I'm doing this under compulsion. I'm doing this under duress. You're holding my arm up behind my back telling me you have to forgive. Okay, seven times, but let go of my arm, Lord. This is time number eight, and I'm not going to forgive this time. What did Jesus say to Peter? You know what he said. You guys know this passage. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. That's not 77. Some translations have said 77 times. That's not what Jesus said. What's 70 times 7? Wow, you guys were good in math. I had to stop and think about that for a while. 7 and aught's aught. And yeah, 490 times. Are you kidding me? Why do I even want to hang around with this person, Lord? You know, they're going to keep coming around and hammering on me. Now, this is my opinion. Jesus doesn't say you got to hang around with this person. If the best way you can get along is to stay away from one another, then my advice is stay away from one another. Maybe someday you'll both reach that point that you can forgive one another and say, you know, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. But when I read that, I said, good night. For I can imagine Peter go, what? You just said seven. Now you're multiplying it 70 times. Make up your mind, Jesus. Well, isn't that how we think? Now, Lord, either seven or 490. You're just going to have to make up your mind. Give me a number where I can stop forgiving. That's what we do. I don't want to forgive anymore. Wow. I'm glad God doesn't have that attitude. Do you know my Bible says that God, through the prophet Isaiah, he told Israel, I'm not going to forgive your sins. I'm going to throw them behind my back. I'm going to forget it. When we as Christians confess our sins to God, we do what he says. We repent and we confess. God says, I will throw your sins behind my back. I don't hold them against you. I got a rough past, mean past. Nasty past. But that guy's dead. He died 42 years ago. He was buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, and a new man came up out of that water. I'm not that guy anymore. Do I carry the scars? I sure do. Do I carry the guilt and remorse? Yes, I do. The older I get, and I talk to more older Christians, and I'm talking about spiritually mature Christians, I can't tell you how many people I've had say, I wish I could go back and do my life all over again. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I did that. And one lady, she got upset and cussed. They were new converts, and she confessed it to me. I said, I'm not your priest. You know, you don't have to confess your sins to me. But she said, I felt terrible as soon as it came out of my mouth. And I said, you know what that tells me? If anybody's in Christ, they're a new creation. I said, would you have thought anything about that a year ago? She said, no, that's just the way I talked. I said, but that's not the way you talk anymore, is it? I said, you actually felt remorse for what came out of your mouth. I said, sister, that's repentance. And I said, also, that shows that you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. You don't want to be that way anymore. You're not going to be that way. So we're okay with God forgiving us. We just struggle with us forgiving others. But Jesus said, if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. It's not an option. It's not a choice. It's a command. You have to forgive. Unforgiveness, church, will stop a revival dead in its tracks in the church. If we got people in the church that are refusing to forgive, and you can sit here and raise your hands and sing praise and worship, and I love you, Lord, and you and me just like this, you know, oh God, I just love you so much. And the scriptures teach that if I can't get along with my fellow man, I can't get along with him. And it's not because he's not hard to get along with, or that he is hard to get along with. is because the way I choose to treat you is how he's going to treat me. You read the Ten Commandments, the first four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with us and God. The last six deal with our relation between us and one another. Is that accidental? Uh-uh. God said, here's four things. This is your relationship, how you're going to treat me. These other six, that's how you're going to treat one another. God cares about people, church. And if we go around being stumbling blocks, causing people to sin by the very fact that we refuse to forgive them, then God notices that. And you and I, as I said last week, we can't go to the Lord and say, you don't know what it's like. He can say, I sure do. I was betrayed by my best friend, one of my best friends. My family thought I was crazy. There was one point it said Mary sent his brothers to get him because they said he's beside himself. That's King James for he's crazy. His porch light's on, but nobody's home. Go get him, tell him his mother wants to talk to him because he can't be in his right frame of mind. Unforgiveness will squelch a revival in a church. Now, here's my suggestion to you. And I do this. Please believe me, I do this. If you're not sure that you're holding anything against anyone, and this could be something from years ago that you thought you were okay with, pray and ask God to reveal it to you, because he'll do it. Get ready, because there'll be things come up in your mind that you thought, good night, that's been, 40 years ago. Some of you ain't been around that long. But you might say, that's been 40 years ago. I thought I forgot all that. And the Lord says, no. You haven't forgot. You haven't forgiven. If the mention of this person's name makes your blood boil, you haven't forgiven them. If you want to keep playing over and over and over in your mind what they did or what they said, you haven't forgiven them. Well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Then you haven't forgiven them. That's not what God does. He said, I throw it behind me. That's what he expects us to do. Now, he gives us the grace to do that. Mercy and forgiveness go hand in hand. It's a spirit of mercy that forgives. You're doing so in the spirit of mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Mercy chooses to say, I forgive. I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. I'm not going to have animosity towards you. I'm not going to be a hindrance in the church. Church, when there's unforgiveness in the church, it's a hindrance to spiritual growth and walk. Other people may grow, you won't. I had a lady got so mad at me one time, I thought she was going to slap me when I said that to her. But she was very bitter and was talking to me about the bitter, and it was just pouring out of her. And I said, sister, until you're willing to forgive, you're not going to grow. Forgive? I said, you're bitter. Bitter? I'm bitter? And I started thinking, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. The bitterness came out of her, the anger. And I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't even a minister. I don't know why people used to come to me and want to talk to me. It's like, hey, I'm not the preacher. There he is, sick. Go after him. Leave me alone. But it was somebody that I knew personally, her and her husband. And they were having problems. And she called me one night, and I mean just the hate just poured out of her mouth. And I'm going, now, sister, wait. Nah, nah, nah. Well, sister, wait. Blah, 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 blah. You know, just right, like a little dog. Just, yeah, 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 yeah. And I said, look, you're going to have to forgive the man that I know of. She never did. And as far as I know now, to this day, she's not in church. I'm sorry to say. We choose the path we're going to walk, church. Jesus said, if you're merciful, you're going to receive mercy. James said to the church of his day, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Ooh. That ought to wake us up. God says you're blessed if you're merciful, but if you're not merciful, you're going to be judged without any mercy. I will show you no mercy. And we think God has to. Is God merciful? Yes. He told Moses, I'm very slow to anger, full of compassion, full of mercy. That's God. But God tells us, but if you're not going to be merciful, I don't have to be merciful either. In fact, I won't be if you refuse to show mercy. Well, that's not fair, God. I mean, you're God and I'm not. Good night. But God doesn't see it that way. If you're a child of God, if you've come to Him through Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you're a new creation, it doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. We're all going to struggle. I'm carrying baggage from 42 years ago that I struggle with. Okay? It's just life. I've come to that conclusion. That is life. But God warns us that we are to show mercy because He's willing to show mercy. You remember the parable of the unjust steward? Jesus said this man was brought to his master. He owed him 10,000 talents of silver. The commentators argue about the amount of that. Some say that's over $10 million. Others say it's not that big of a deal. But the thing was, he could not pay it. There was no way he could pay it back. So the master said, well, I want him, his wife, his kids, and all his possessions sold, and payment be made on that debt. And it said the man fell at his master's feet and said, please, be patient with me. Have mercy on me. I'll pay it back. And it said the master was moved with compassion, with mercy. And he forgave him the whole debt. And he said that servant went out and found another servant who owed him a piddling amount. It comes out in our currency like $18. And he got him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And the servant said, be merciful. Have patience with me. I'll pay it back. Now, who was going to be able to pay it back? He wasn't the first guy. There was no way he could pay that $10,000 back. The second guy, he could have paid that back. That was feasible. They were drawing wages, and he's saying, look, I'll pay you that $18 as quick as I can. But it said that servant said no. And he had him thrown in the debtor's prison until the debt was paid. Well, Jesus said the master's servants came to him, and they were very distressed. They told him what happened. Some of them probably owed him money. And they said, Master, this guy's starting to jail us. And the master called him in, and he called him a wicked, lazy servant. He said, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me to. He said, you should have had mercy on your fellow servant like I showed to you. So Jesus said the master had him put in prison until that debt was paid. How long was that? Life. The master put him in prison for life. And he said, when you can pay me back what you owe me, then you can see daylight again. And church, that's what unforgiveness does to us. It imprisons us. It embitters us. The Bible says bitterness will cause a root of defilement within us. I had people back when I smoked, you know, well, smoking them cigarettes, you're defiling the holy temple. No, you're not. Jesus said it's not what goes in, it defiles, it's what comes out of the heart. I'll argue that to the death. Not that I advocate using tobacco. I mean, I finally got them quit, thank God, but that's not what the Lord said. He said it's the stuff that comes out of your mouth, out of your heart, that's what will defile you, make you spiritually unclean. Unforgiveness is one of those. It defiles us. We don't want to be there, church. Well, it's hard. I didn't read where you said it's a snap. It's easy. Just, you know, yeah, it's no problem. But when I think of him on the cross praying for the forgiveness of those people that had tortured him and driven nails in his hands and feet and beat him, all the stuff they did to him, and he was able to say, Father, please forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. You know what that tells me? I think God was a little bit peeved, a little bit ticked. And Jesus knew it, and he said, Father, I want you to forgive them. He said, they don't understand what they're doing. I want that heart. I pray about that. You know, God, I want your heart. I want to be able to love the way you love. I want to be able to forgive the way you forgive. But I got a lot of baggage. I got a lot of stuff I got to deal with. I got a lot of stuff I'm not wanting to let go of, or stuff I'm wanting to that I don't want to hang on to that I need to hang on to, and stuff I need to let go that I don't want to let go. And when somebody wrongs us, We feel justified in saying, well, they wronged me and I don't want anything else to do with them. Well, you can do that. But understand something, your spiritual growth will stop right there. You won't grow another inch. I know that's the truth because that's what the Word of God tells me. God says, if you won't forgive sin, I won't forgive yours. So that's a choice, church, a choice of the consent of our will. We have to set our will to it and say, God, I'm going to forgive. As I said, if you question, you know, do I have unforgiveness in my heart? There's nothing wrong with praying and asking God to show that to you, because He can sure show it to you. And then it's up to you what you're going to do with what He shows you. Are you going to choose to forgive, or are you going to hang on? It will affect your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. In fact, you're not going to have much of one if you refuse to forgive. The Apostle Paul advised the church, I'm going to close with these last two passages, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. That made me mad first time I read that. Paul said, put away all anger. How do you do that? That makes me mad, telling me to put away anger. That's just the way I think. It's like, well, how do I do that, Paul? That's what would help. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. God forgave me because of what Jesus Christ did, nothing I did. It wasn't anything I did. He forgave me because of what His Son did. Paul said to the church at Colossae, and this is a close here, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Unforgiveness will squelch and prevent a revival just as quick as adultery will in the church. We don't see it that way, but that's the way God looks at it. Unforgiveness is unforgiveness. Maybe you're here today and you can say, well, you know, I think I've forgiven everybody, but I'm not sure. As I say, I would really encourage you to pray and ask God. This is important. This can keep you out of the kingdom of heaven, according to Scripture. I didn't make that up. That's what Jesus said. It'll keep you from being forgiven. So if you're wondering, pray about it. And be honest before God and say, you know, do I have any unforgiveness? Is there anything I'm holding against somebody? And then be a big enough person, if He reveals that to you, to say, Lord, I'm going to take care of that right now. Maybe you feel like you've wronged somebody and you've never repented of that. After I hadn't been saved very long and I was reading a systematic theology that Charles Finney wrote, and Finney was very much into repentance and restitution. And he said, there are people you've wronged in your life that you can go back to and say, I wronged you. I'm sorry. I sinned against you. He said, if you can't see them in person, write them a letter. They didn't have phones back in the 1700s, but hey, give them a phone call. Humble yourself and say, look, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Well, what if they don't? Then that's their problem. That's not yours. You do what the Lord's told you to do. If they refuse to forgive, all right, but you forgive. You forgive them if they refuse to give you, okay? You say, that's all right, God, I'm not holding against them. That's between you and them. And I had to do that. I sat down and wrote some letters. And it was hard because I had to confess some things to people, that things you don't want to confess. You just want to leave them, you know, let's better not talk about this. But I had to confess some things to people and say, I sinned. And I'm so sorry. And I had one guy wrote me back and said, I'm a Christian too. And he said, I need to do what you did. He said, I realized that there are some people I've hurt that I need to go back and make it right. So he said, I really appreciate what you did. And he was the Christian. I figured he's the one that's going to hammer on me the most. But he didn't. He said, hey, yeah. If you do not forgive others, their sins against you, their trespasses, their wrongdoings, Jesus said, your Father will not forgive you. That's cut and dried. Would you stand with me this morning? He never said it was easy. He never said you wouldn't struggle with it. He never said you would wrestle with this, but he said it's necessary. So that's what we need to do.